Support for Radio Boston comes from Hadestown at the Box Center Wang Theater, Broadway's Tony and Grammy-winning Best Musical, an epic celebration of music, togetherness, and hope, raves Forbes. Playing April 23rd through April 28th. Buy your tickets today at boxcenter.org.
Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. A few years ago, Amherst College professor Ilan Stavins went on a lecture tour of Latin America. While in Colombia, he met up with a shaman friend. They go into the Amazon and spend 3 days huddled around a clay oven with 12 other people drinking a powerful hallucinogenic drug. They chant and dance and move in a mesmerizing circle around a woman named Jesusa. And here's how Stavins describes what happens next.
We are all about to bury Jesusa, who herself is already becoming the soil. She's devouring the earth as she's being devoured by the earth. And I am accelerating my speed, just as everybody else is, thinking, I gotta stop. I gotta go back to where I was. I gotta stop.
Well, the experience changed Ilan Stavins. He says the hallucinogens gave him a deeper clarity about his own life and his own Jewish beliefs. And he's turned that experience into a one-man show called The Oven. You heard a moment from the show just now. And it premieres at the Charlestown Working Theater tomorrow. Ilan Stavins joins us now in the studio. Welcome back to Radio Boston.
It's a pleasure to be here again.
So let me first ask you, you go on this lecture tour of Latin America, but how is it that you end up around that oven in particular?
Well, it was I felt caged during the entire trip. I had been taken from one lecture to another, speaking to all sorts of audiences, students and political activists and teachers and religious leaders. And at one point, this shaman approached me and we immediately identified with one another. He invited me to visit him at one point in the Colombian part of the Amazon. I don't really know why I said yes. The whole play is about my trying to figure out why I'm putting myself into such a situation. And yet I ended up there and it was a transformative moment for me.
Well, so, and I want to talk, of course, in detail about how that transformative moment plays out in your life. But did you know what the purpose of the ceremony itself was before undertaking it?
I didn't, Meghna. And I am a person who generally does a lot of research and thinks before acting and contemplates all the possibilities. And here I was very impulsive, as if there was a force inside me that had, from time immemorial, been pushing me to say yes, and that I needed to be part of that ceremony, and that I needed to understand something. I'm from Mexico, something about my culture that I had never understood up until this stage. I was already coming close to my 50s, and it was more fate than will.
Right, never understood because of your Jewish faith.
Because I had grown up in Mexico as a Jew, yeah. I had participated in rituals in temple, but never really. I'd never really went out and participated in other types of religious manifestations in Mexico. And when I became a scholar of Hispanic culture, I only read about them. And here was my opportunity to say, well, if there's another way of registering knowledge, if it doesn't come through the mind, this is going to be it. You're reaching a certain age. Either you do it now or you don't do it. You're far away from home. Nobody knows where you are. Take this opportunity.
Yeah. So you're in the jungle, and as we described with 12 other people, for several days. And the drug that you drink, am I saying this correctly? It's ayahuasca?
Ayahuasca.
Ayahuasca. But it does some powerful things to your body.
It did indeed. It had been prepared beforehand by a curandera, a healer, the mother of the shaman who had invited me. It was a thick oil-looking, almost like petroleum liquid, that she gave to me in a glass, and I swallowed at first in a very slow way, and then she said, you have to do it quickly because you're not going to like it. And then I just let myself go. I pretended that the experience was going to be authentic, but also was having all these hesitations. And the hallucinogenic affected me slowly and started to affect everybody else. And we were, for 3 days, in a kind of a larger-than-life play where the limits of the real and the unreal, where dreams in daily life kind of clash and get reconfigured. Astonishing. Yeah.
Well, you actually, I mean, you've converted this experience or translated this experience into this one-man play. And I'm wondering if you could just read sort of a small section of the play. And it's a moment where you cross over, in a way, from being an observer to a fully immersed member of the ceremony.
I tell myself I'm an observer. I pretend to participate, but I will only pretend because inside myself, I know I'm just looking. Then, having witnessed a woman possessed by a demon, jumping like crazy without restraint, and another one putting her head into a bucket and refusing to come out, and a bulky guy falling flat on his face as if dead, I suddenly feel the need to reach out to the curandera, the healer, and hand her my glasses, because if my glasses are ruined, then what? Who would I be? How will I remain an observer in control? So I stand up and made my way to her, and I say, Señora, aquí están mis anteojos. Por favor, protéjalos. Here are my glasses. Please, safeguard them. And she takes them gently and smiles and places them on the altar securely. And as I return to my place, I say, oh, no, what have I done? I not only left my glasses with her, but my eyes, too. I no longer have my eyes. She kept them. They are on the table. In my glasses, my eyes looking at me.
Oh, that's Ilan Stavins reading a small excerpt from his one-man show, The Oven. So this ayahuasca has this profound, transformative, hallucinogenic effect on body and mind. You describe the beginnings of it there. Later on in the play, there's a moment where you say your body's transforming into a jaguar, right? And you begin thinking about your ancestors, and that's where the title of the play, The Oven, also starts taking on a multiplicity of meanings here. And this is what I really want to get to, because there's something about this traditional Amazonian ceremony that gave you an access to your Jewish faith that you hadn't had before.
That I hadn't had before, just the way you're describing it. At the middle of this big opening in the jungle, there was the oven, and the oven kept us all warm in the few days that we're all together, and we come close and we distance ourselves from the oven. And at one point, I am losing my sense of control, and I feel that my body has mutated into that of a jaguar, and I'm running around and I'm starving, and my sense of smell has become acute. And then I feel the way my cells, the molecules of my body, are dancing around, and they become a nebula that move on top of the trees and on the surface of the river, and then come to the oven and surround the oven. And in the dance that they are making around the surface of the oven, they all of a sudden come inside, and I am inside an oven that has a fire in the center, and I immediately have the image in my mind that my ancestors, I come from immigrants that came from Eastern Europe to Mexico. 10 out of the 12 siblings of my grandmother died in Auschwitz and in other concentration camps. And I realized that in the ashes where my molecules are going, I can see their faces. And the faces are talking to me, and they are not getting burned. And I am jumping and becoming a face together with them. And in that act of expiation, there is a sense of connection between this large Amazon landscape that is surrounding me and my whole history and the history of my ancestors. And I understand that everything that I have processed through the mind for ages, even before I was born, all of a sudden acquires new meaning.
Yeah.
And that yesterday, today, and tomorrow are all together, and that space also becomes larger than the my immediate surroundings. And I feel both exhilarated by the experience and frightened, and I feel as if it is overwhelming me, but it is contained by myself too.
So what does it mean to you, though, that experience, that connection to your ancestors came through this sort of mystical jungle experience and perhaps not necessarily through the regular practice of your Jewish faith?
I think it says that certain rigid rituals that are defined by institutional religion may enable us to communicate with community, but might also stop us in trying to get deeper into ourselves, and that sometimes we have to push ourselves to the limit in order to understand aspects of our life that on a regular basis they will remain eclipsed.
Yeah. You know, so this idea of pushing ourselves to the limits, crossing those limits, crossing borders, whether they be, you know, emotional, religious, intellectual, physical, is something that you've spent a lot of your scholarship on. I mean, I'm looking at a 2008 article from Jewish Journal where you say that you wrote that we live in a world where every country is perfectly delineated with lines, where we can have fences or we can have helicopters and dogs and patrols. To what degree are those borders replicated in our minds? And how do we cross a border that is fictional or imaginary, or do we carry them with us forever? I mean, we are living in a moment now where those questions are as pressing as they have ever been. And yeah. So, you know, I wonder where is your understanding of the answers to this?
My understanding is that those very limits, Meghna, that are the borders, are constantly defining the way we perceive the world, the immigration process that we're witnessing, the terrorist attacks that are taking place that right now, the idea that we're creating new nations and older nations are being destroyed, that religion is at the core of everything, is something that is becoming a kind of prison for us. I fear that it is paralyzing us and in making us also become individuals that are only reacting to the news, to the environment. In my career, I have tried to break those rules as much as possible and to bring others to the idea that the borders are there to be tested. I have also tried to be restless with my own self. Yeah. As a writer that can jump into the stage or as a person that can do movies and can do graphic novels, because I think that repetition and I think that routine and boredom are the worst type of diseases. Even when we're paralyzed by fear, it is crucial that we go beyond and try to see ourselves from the outside, as in the play, the eyes looking at our own eyes, looking at ourselves, and try to ponder what would that mean? Presenting ourselves in different circumstances.
Well, Ilan Stavins is a professor of Latin American and Latino culture at Amherst College. He's author of a number of books, including Quixote and also A Most Imperfect Union. He is the writer and performer of the new one-man show, The Oven. It premieres tomorrow at the Charlestown Working Theater. Professor Stavins, it is always a pleasure to speak with you. Thank you so much.
It's wonderful to come here. Thank you.
That's it for today. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.